The winds of change are blowing strange through the streets of my hometown. The for sale signs tell of more hard times since the factory's closing down. Hasn't been this slow, say the folks I know, since just before the world war. Now a working man can work hard, but still he's poor. And the talk is it's not America anymore. This ain't America anymore. This ain't America anymore. Where has she gone? And why can't she see? She's digging her grave. No, this ain't America anymore. This ain't the land my father fought for. Where has she gone? The land of the free, the home of the brave. And it seems like this ain't America anymore. She was proud and free back in 63. Back when coffee cost just a dime, when her children could play in her parks all day without fear of drugs and crime. Yes, these streets of old were once paved with gold, but now they're cold and damp, I know. Since the job I just lost went south to Mexico, guess these streets are the only place I've got left to go. No, this ain't America anymore. This ain't America anymore. Where has she gone? And why can't she see? She's digging her grave. No, this ain't America anymore. This ain't the land our fathers fought for. Where has she gone? The land of the free and the home of the brave. And it seems like this ain't America anymore. How I long to go back to the time and place when we were living the American dream. But now I fear it's too late, and from my destitute state I just want to throw my head back and scream. 'Cause this ain't America anymore. This ain't America anymore. Where has she gone? Why can't she see? She's digging her grave. No, this ain't America anymore. This ain't the land our fathers fought for. Where has she gone? The land of the free and the home of the brave. And it seems like this ain't America anymore.
when those bad old foes we fought for years finally fall from one last blow. So don't give up on hope too soon, girl, before this day arrives. Just heave a sigh and try to dry all these teardrops from your eyes. Cause there's still time for me and you. There's still love to see us through. There's still miles of road we've yet to travel, and so much we still can do. So won't you choose, girl, to lose these blues, and remember this, my friend, that it's not over, girl, until we win. It's not over till our adversary's down for the count. It's not over till the last bell rings. It's not over till the crowd stands up to scream and shout, until the big old friendly fat lady sings. And as far as I know, we got a ways yet to go, so we might as well hang tough till the end. Cause it's not over, girl, until we win. No, it's not over, girl, until we win.
Whenever I stop and think about the many times we faced impossible odds, when the hopelessness and despair felt so intense that we didn't think we could hold out any longer, yet time and again we were given the grace to overcome those odds and the courage to keep fighting the fight. What it proves to me is we've got angels watching over us, girl. So if we can just keep our hope alive for a little bit longer and keep on believing in the promise that the truth will one day set us free, then there shall be a glorious future awaiting us. For I've read the end of the story, and it's not over until we win.
Yeah, now there's still time and you. Oh, there's still love to see us through. Yeah, there's still miles of road we've yet to travel, and so much we still can do. So won't you choose now to lose these blues, and remember this, my friend, that it's not over, girl, until we win. It's not over till our adversary's down for the count. It's not over till the last bell rings. It's not over till the crowd stands up to scream and shout, until the big old smiling fat lady sings. And as far as I know, we got a ways yet to go, so we might as well hang tough till the end. Cause it's not over, girl, till we win. No, it's not over, girl, until we win. It's not over, girl, until we win. Yeah, it's not over, girl, until we win. It's not over, child, until we win. It's not over.
It's in the key of G, if you want. Gladys is where Raymond lived. He won't close and Raymond froze. Now get your mind off of the time, cause you ain't going nowhere. Ooh, we sing around the hat. Tomorrow's the day now the bride's gonna count. Oh, Lord, we're gonna fly down in my easy chair. I don't care how many letters they send. The Mona came and Mona went. Pick up your Mona now, back in your tent, 'cause you ain't going nowhere. Ooh, we sing around the high. Tomorrow's a day my bride's gonna come. Buy me a flute and a gun that shoots, tailgates and them substitutes, and strap yourself to a tree with roots. You ain't going nowhere. Ooh, we sing riding the high. Tomorrow's the day that my bride's gonna come. Well, Genghis Khan, he could not keep all his king's supply was sleep. We'll climb the mountain no matter how steep. When we get to the top, we'll be singing. Ooh, we sing around the eye. Tomorrow's the day the bride's gonna come. Oh Lord, are we gonna fly down in my easy chair? Ooh, we sing around the eye. Bride's gonna come. Oh Lord, are we gonna fly down in my easy chair? Down in my easy chair. Down in my easy chair, Lord, I say. Down in my easy chair.
My country. and for friends and family. Mourning in the ignorance, while staying safe within a dream. I will fight for freedom. Land away to liberty. I'd die for my country. Slaying corporate dynamite. Tragedy. I just want some answers, so the truth will set us free.
From the deepest grave.
will praise Him.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design broadcast for the 12th day of June, year 2022. I am your host, Pastor Dan, and the topic for today's broadcast is Still in the Storm. We dedicate this broadcast to our Heavenly Father, Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this broadcast to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or Paleo Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen, Shumai, and welcome to the broadcast, Prynhawn Da, Cymru Ambeth. Our website is www.pastordan.net, and Pastor Dan is all together with no spaces. Pastordan.net. We draw your attention to the Daily Mail page there, where we keep current events and health information and research, and a lot of times we'll have good quotes and book references there as well. On the home page, there's information for those who wish to help us out financially, and for the folks that do, we ask Yahweh to bless your heart mightily. We also have a Contact Us page. If you do not have my contact information, my personal stuff, or my email, etc., and thank you, Ella, you can go to the website, PastorDan.net, and use the Contact Us page to send me a note. A lot of things to talk about here today, and I picked the topic for Still in the Storm based on what a paratrooper had written to a friend of mine. I sent it out to some of my email folks, but I thought it was very appropriate. And also another posting that was put on Telegram this morning talking about the fact that we are in this storm, and it's not going to abate immediately, but it shall abate, and we shall overcome. But before we get into all that, I want to say thank you to one of our supporters and listeners out there who sent me a very nice gift, and I'm wearing it right now. It's a olive drab T-shirt. Olive drab, of course, is the green that the military uses. And it's got a black stenciled front with the face of a lion, and Joshua chapter 1 verse 9 is referenced on it. So I thought we would read that. It says, "Have I not given you your orders?" Just like a soldier, right? "Have I not given you your orders? Take heart and be strong. Have no fear and do not be troubled. For Yahweh your Elohim God is with you wherever you go." I looked it up in the Apostolic Bible Polyglot, which is the Greek Septuagint. And in the Greek language, where it says here to take heart and be strong, the Greek words somewhat mean and be manly. How many times have we talked about the difference between men and males? Okay, a male may have the biological equipment that Yahweh gave him, but men are a different breed. Men have character, integrity, fortitude, intelligence, a good work ethic. They know how to be compassionate, and yet when it's needed, they know how to be firm. They know how to dish out punishment as well as praise and accommodation. That's the difference between just being a male, and many of the people walking around in shoe leather today are simply males, and the difference between them and men. Men I equate to white stallions or lions, two of my favorite images of what it means to be a man, a white stallion or a lion. And if you want to go to the third emblem that I think that represents the heart of a man, it's the eagle. All of them represent creatures upon this earth that I believe are formidable, handsome, that show strength, courage, and have no fear. So, that being said, I wanted to read the posting that was on this morning on Telegram. And again, this constitutes the feeling that's going out there with an awful lot of people about the fact that we are in the middle of a gigantic worldwide fight right now, good versus evil. Now, we've talked about that subject on this program for years, but it has now gone mainstream in the truther community and in the patriotic circles, as is the call for repentance and a returning to our Father Yahweh. Hallelujah. So it is happening, ladies and gentlemen. And again, we do not need the majority of bags of bones to be on our side. We simply need to wake up the lions amongst our people. Okay? So anyway, this was posted, and I thought it was interesting. I thought I would share it with you. Humanity has been undervalued, taken advantage of, abused, misled, brainwashed, and poisoned. They have been able to do this because we are, in general terms, kind-hearted, well-meaning, and trusting creatures that battle to even begin to imagine what evil is capable of. But the time has come to face evil, and we must tap into the fire we hold inside and awaken every lion, every wolf, and every monster we have inside of us, and remind them we may be good-hearted, loving beings, but there is a limit to what we will put up with. We have reached that limit. We must not put up with any more. It's time to show them what we're made of. Let's wake up every man that still has balls, every woman that knows the meaning of the word, and every parent that will fight for their children's future. Enough is enough. Together, all of us with fire left inside can turn this around. We have the courage, we have the faith, and we have the will. There is nothing more powerful than all of us united against evil. Yahweh God is watching and waiting precisely for us to do this. He is on our team. We cannot lose. Hallelujah. That's just a sample. I'm reading stuff like this coming across the airwaves and different platforms almost on a daily basis now. There is a raising of the consciousness of the people of this earth, this Eretz, this garden that our Heavenly Father created. And no, we're not here by accident, and there is no such thing as an evolutionary process, at least not the form of evolution they teach in the government-controlled schools. And you have to understand something, folks, that we've been lied to virtually our entire lives, and virtually on every subject that you can imagine. They have lied, distorted, and given us misinformation or disinformation on a continual basis. And so you don't really have a clue on what reality is unless you tune out the beast system and their methods of propaganda, and you return to our Father through the Holy Spirit. Remember your pineal gland, the third eye that sits right between your eyes, a little bit, if you draw a line between the center of your eyeballs, right above your nose there, and you go up about a half inch to an inch, that's where the third eye sits, that little tiny pineal gland. And pineal comes from the word pine, meaning shaped like a pine cone. Okay, so the pineal gland sits in there. Some people call it the pineal, but I call it the pineal because that makes more sense because it comes from the word pine, so pineal. Pineal is also called the third eye because it has rods and cones, as do your eyeballs. Your eyes, at the back of your eyes, are a wall of rod, what they call rods and cones, that pick up light frequencies. Remember, light is just electromagnetic waves bouncing off of objects around you, and these electronic waves come into your eyes, and it's the rods and the cones are like little antennas at the back of your eyeballs, and they change those electromagnetic vibrations or frequencies into an electronic signal. In other words, they are a converter. And these electronic pulses and signals are then sent to the brain where it creates an image. So if you think about it, your eyes do not see anything. Your perception is that they see, but what is happening is literally those rays of light at very different frequencies from each other. Each color, each hue has a different frequency. They are picked up by the antenna in the back of your eyes and converted into signals that the brain then turns those signals into what we call an image. And here again, is there anybody out there with a brain that functions that thinks that this evolved, a complicated, intensely complicated process such as eyesight, and think that that happened by accident? I mean, really, you really have to be dumber than a box of rocks to think that we're here by accident and there is not intelligent design involved in every single process of your body. The more you study about health and the processes going on within your body and the whole process of birth of a child, if you do not marvel at all of that and give glory to our Creator, you are a fool. I'm just saying it the way it is. You are a fool. And I'm getting a lot of mail from people that are putting up with relatives and friends that are just walking zombies. Okay? Just go to Ezekiel and read chapters 37 and 38. We're in that valley full of dead and dry bones. Here is the beautiful part. He said, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Now, when somebody pours their spirit upon you, what do you have to do? Does it mean that when Yahweh pours out his spirit, that automatically everybody touched by that spirit will awaken to the truth and knowledge of our Father? No, it does not. He pours out the spirit, but you have to open the gateway, the pineal gland, which, if you are going the way of the world, is contaminated beyond belief. Isn't it interesting that most of the poisons and contaminations created by this beast system that is worldwide, most of those contaminants and pollutions attack the pineal gland. The pineal gland is very, very susceptible to contamination. So much so that many of these automatons that are walking around today, especially those with diapers on their face, their pineal gland has calcified and almost ceased to function. Again, where it becomes important that we understand what our Father taught us through the scriptures about health issues. Now, the church world tells you basically the Old Testament was done away with. Well, of course, because His instructions to us about how to make war, about hygiene, about the clean foods and all, are contained in the old scriptures primarily, even though there are references to it in the newer parchments. Most of the actual statutes and regulations are found in the Old Testament. Of course they don't want you looking into the Old Testament, just like they don't want you to know the name of our Father. Which I think is really nice in one of the songs playing in the prelude to the program today was a song by Fernando Ortega, and he said, "I will sing his name." Hallelujah. And then, of course, Carl Klang in one of his songs that I played, it has the statement that it's not over until we win. Hallelujah. So two fine gentlemen with some phenomenal music for us to listen to, Fernando Ortega and Carl Klang. I'm not sure about Mr. Ortega. I believe he's still alive, but Carl left us a few years ago, at least as far as I know. And we certainly miss him, as we do Jonathan David Brown, two exceptional identity men and exceptionally talented men as far as songwriting and singing. I had the honor of knowing them both personally and meeting them both personally on several occasions. So that's why it's my honor to play their music today. Let it live on. Let their voices and their energy and their vibration continue on to this day to reach our people and to edify our people. In some of my darkest days back in the 1990s when I was at war with the beast, and I mean literally at war, and there were many dark, dark days, especially in the hotel rooms and stuff that I had to stay in, and I was by myself. There were many nights that there were hot tears and prayers going up for courage and for strength and for help, and it was the words of Bertrand Comparé, for the most part, that I read, and the music of Carl Klang and Jonathan David Brown that gave me solace in those dark, dark days. The reading of Proverbs and the reading of Psalms also. But putting those all together, they helped me get through that period of time. Had to clear my throat, excuse me. So anyway, we're going to get through another thing here. Still in the Storm, this is by Mike Donio. Donio, I guess is how you pronounce that. And again, this was, I took this off of Telegram. I am a former scientist who stood up, notice he stood up, and declined to take the vaccine. My approximately 20-year career, most of which was in pharma and biotech, came to an end October of last year. Since then, I have been fighting back, been given the opportunity to share the truth on numerous podcasts, and for that I am grateful. I have started a community of scientific truth tellers called Scientists for Health Freedom. And soon I'll be launching a new resource to make science more approachable called Science Defined. So here again, the scriptures of "Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only" comes to mind, correct? Now, this is the note that was sent to me by a very longtime friend of mine, and he had had it sent to him. And it's from a former paratrooper who is now 80-some years old. So he's getting up there in age. And he wrote this out, and tell me if this isn't common sense. 11 teenagers die every day because of texting while driving. Let that sink in. 11 teenagers die every day because of texting while driving. Maybe it is time to raise the age of owning a smartphone to 21 years old. Hallelujah. Number two, if gun control laws actually worked, Chicago would be like Mayberry, USA. And for you younger folks, that's referring to Mayberry in the Andy Griffith program. Gosh, I'm having a brain cramp here. The Andy Griffith Show, I think, is what it was called. But anyway, Mayberry was the town where him and Deputy Barney Fife were police officers. Number three. The Second Amendment makes more women equal than the entire feminist movement. We should add the Jewish feminist movement. Number four, legal gun owners have 300 million guns and probably a trillion rounds of ammunition. Seriously, folks, if we were the problem, you would know it. Hallelujah. We haven't put those vast number of weapons and ammunition to use yet. That day is coming. When John F. Kennedy was killed, nobody blamed the rifle. Hallelujah. Number six, the NRA, which stands for the National Rifle Association, the NRA murders zero people and receives $0 in government funding. Planned Parenthood kills 350,000 babies every year and receives $500 million in tax dollars annually. Let that sink in. Number seven, I have no problem with vigorous background checks when it comes to firearms. However, while we are at it, let's do the same when it comes to immigration, voter ID, and candidates running for office. Again, hallelujah. Number eight, folks keep telling about another civil war. Or keep talking about another civil war. One side knows how to shoot and probably has a trillion rounds. The other side has crying closets and is confused about which bathroom to use. Now tell me, how do you think that will end? Hallelujah. And then he says here, don't be afraid to share this. There's more logic and common sense expressed here than probably anything you have seen or heard on the news today. And if indeed that is true. So again, it's not over till we win, as Carl Klang says. We sing out and praise his holy name. And yeah, we have some debate about the correct pronunciation, but you know, do you think the Father cares? The Father came into my life back when I was in the Judeo-Christian realm in the Methodist Church. My Father answered my prayers when I didn't know any better. I called him Jesus and Lord and the Lord God. But he knew in my heart was in the right place. I was deceived by the elders within the Methodist Church, and my own family did not straighten me out. But he knew within me where my heart was. He knew that when I looked to the heavens and praised him, and glorified him as much as I knew as a child. And he knew that as I read his scriptures and I put them into practice in my life, I was trying to honor him. He knew that. Do Do you think it bothered him that I made a mistake calling him by a pagan name and a title? You don't think he knew that my heart of hearts was in the right place, and then once he opened my eyes to the truth of his name and the Greek and Hebrew text, you don't think he understood that I would take it up immediately because it's truth? You see, I proposed as a young child, as a young man, I proposed to live my life for him. I made him a promise, and I still remember the night I made that promise on my little twin bed on the upstairs bedroom of our little farmhouse. I proposed to live my life for him, and I propose to be a truth seeker from the time, again, as a child on that farm. And my whole life has been spent in the pursuit of truth, whether it's truth about auto mechanics, truth about electricity, truth about the weather, truth about scripture. It doesn't matter. Truth is truth. And I wanted as much truth as my brain would hold, as much truth as my eyes could bear to read or my ears to hear. And I wanted my brain to absorb all of that truth so that I could share it with those who care about the truth. That's what my goal was. Didn't you think my Father in heaven did not honor those desires? Do you think he held it against me that my elders didn't teach me the correct words and pronunciations of these sacred titles? It's what's in your heart that he judges, ladies and gentlemen. Because you and me can't walk a life that's clean enough. You and I can't speak words plain enough and properly enough to earn anything. He's looking inside you. What drives you? What motivates you? What are the goals that you have set for yourself on a daily basis? He will judge you on those things, not your perfection. Because I have news for you, folks. None of us walk the perfect walk. Just not going to happen, all right? So, with that being said, I want to read some verses along the lines of the different things that we've talked about so far. I've already read it, but I'm going to read it again here amongst the verses. Joshua 1, verse 9, and this is the English Standard Version. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for Yahweh God is with you wherever you go. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, for Yahweh God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. You see, we don't need a nanny government telling us right and wrong and about self-control. You only need that kind of nanny government with the godless, with the bags of bones that walk around. I don't need some piece of shit in a government office and in a government uniform telling me what's right and wrong. Sorry, I don't need them. I don't pay attention to them. I could care less who's governor. I could care who sits in the whorehouse called the White House. It should be called the White Whorehouse, because that's what they are in Washington, D.C., or wherever these assholes are hiding. They are criminals. I could care less what they come up with. It doesn't affect my life, and I'm not going to let it affect my life. I will do what's right on a daily basis. I could care less if it's, quote, legal or illegal, because these people are criminals. We've stated it over and over and over again. What we need is citizens, grand juries, the local sheriffs working with the local posses called the militia, and we need to start having citizen grand juries get together and indict these SOBs and then bring them in front of tribunals made up of the local militia. And I mean the men real men, the lions in the community. Just as it was in the days of old for the Israelites when they had judges. They didn't have courthouses. They didn't have lawyers. And they were called judges, not in the term that we use today for these black-robed pieces of shit that sit behind benches and pretend that they're God. The judges were the elders of the community. And they were the seasoned veteran lions. If you want to think about it, it's much like the people that lived in North America many hundreds of years ago. They lived in villages, some lived in teepees, etc. But they were Israelites. And we know this because of the type of buildings that they built in their villages and the languages they spoke. They were Europeans. And they had elders, much like the judges spoken of in the Old Testament. They had elders. When they had a dispute they couldn't settle amongst themselves, they took it to the elders. Your scriptures call them the judges. But they were basically just elders who had lived a long life. They were older, they were calmer, their hormones weren't out of whack like many of these young people today. And they trusted their wisdom. And they always referred to Scripture and to our Heavenly Father's wishes. And so they would present their case to the elders. And typically these elders would then convene amongst themselves and render a judgment. But that was only if it was a dispute that could not be handled between individuals or even communities. Okay, they weren't overlords or dictators like we have today. We have a communist dictatorship in America. In virtually all of our Western nations, it has turned into a Jewish communist dictatorship. And notice that the white nations of the world, practically every one of them, is lorded over by a Jewish communist. Trudeau in Canada, Biden and his whole regime here in America, they're communists. France, Germany, England, Sweden, probably Finland, Norway, could be even Russia, for all we know. Okay? Virtually every one of them, Australia, New Zealand, all of them are lorded over by Jewish communists. So again, when are the lions going to rise up and put an end to this tyranny, this murder, this mayhem, this financial raping of the people? Cry out, ladies and gentlemen, 2 Chronicles 7:14. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Hallelujah. I sure hope our Father in heaven is your rock and your salvation. Psalm 37, verse 4, delight yourself in Yahweh God, and he will give you the desires of your heart. How many of you pray and have this desire for something in your life? Are you going to the Father? You know, I have many people call me on a daily basis with their woes and trials and tribulations. And I kindly remind them that, first of all, the scripture says that he disciplines those he loves. And you could interpret the word discipline as placing somebody under persecution or whatever. But the Father will allow the things of this world get the tongue untied here. He will allow the evils of this world to bring fire upon you. Fire is persecution, because like silver, he is going to refine you in that fire. So if you are in fire or persecution or a lot of trouble, there's probably something dirty or dross. It's called dross in silver. There is a contamination, in other words, within you. Something is contaminating you. Could be something in your thoughts or something in your activities. And he will burn that out of you with persecution. That's what it's for. Now, the good news is when Yahweh, our Father, sees his reflection in your behavior, your thought patterns, your motivations, your activities, your courage, when he sees a reflection of himself in you, he takes the fire away. So we as individuals will go through that, and I've known a lot of the best of identity people that I've ever met. And to be honest with you, the only time I see them under fire is when there's something that needs to be corrected. Other than that, they are the most blessed people I know. Now, blessed in the sense of spiritual blessing, not necessarily riches or big fancy homes or cars or all that. That's man's way. That's the Jewish approach. Everything's related to money and wealth. Yahweh looks at spiritual growth, knowing full well that coming in the near future will be the abundance that he promised for his people. It's right around the corner, folks. But he has to clean his own house first. It says so in Scripture. Judgment begins in the house of our Father. And who are his people? Jacob. The descendants of Jacob, Israel. He's going to clean our ranks of the dross or the contaminants amongst our people. And then judgment comes upon this world. So I say the quicker I see a lot of these brain dead, ballless morons walking around, falling over dead in the street, I say hallelujah. I don't want them in the kingdom. I don't want them in this world. They are a contamination. They are despicable. They are an insult to any of humanity that can still function with a brain and has any integrity at all. They are an insult in every way, shape, or form. I can't wait till they're gone. The beautiful thing is once they are out of the way, the sons and daughters of the Most High can then go forward and bring Psalm 149 to pass. If we have time, we're going to read that. This honor hath all the saints to bring the judgments written by our Father upon these wicked, evil scumbags that walk this earth. Mark chapter 11, verse 24. Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. Let me add, it will be yours in his timing, not your timing. In his timing. Psalm 34, verse 4. I sought Yahweh God, and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. Remember that adage that we talk about a long often on this program? Everything that you've ever wanted in this life is on the other side of fear. Remember that, folks. Psalm 121, verses 1 through 8, which is a song of ascents. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from Yahweh God, who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Jacob Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. Yahweh God is your keeper. Yahweh God is your shade on your right hand. Right hand is always a symbol of strength and honor amongst our people. Jeremiah 29, verse 11, For I know the plans I have for you, declares Yahweh God, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Don't be forlorn, folks. Be an overcomer in these trials and tribulations of the end times. The daylight, the rewards, the blessings are right around the corner. They're just now beginning to show up, and they are showing up. Trust me, they are. John 16, verse 33, I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. But take heart, I have overcome the world. What do you think Messiah was talking about here? I have overcome the world. In you and me, he has overcome the world, ladies and gentlemen. Obviously, there's still evil here. It has risen its ugly head to the point it's disgusting. The tares are ripe for the harvest. So when he says, I've overcome the world, he's talking about you and me. You and I that have made the conscious decision to allow his Holy Spirit to be the guide, to be the model for our existence on this earth. As we emulate him, we overcome the world. The problem is the white man has acquiesced to the world. The white man has thrown away his culture, his heritage, and his responsibility to the Most High. And because of that, the whole world is in travail. So the correlation or the answer to this dilemma is for us to throw off the world and embrace the calling within us. We are his temple. Right here. There's no need to build another one out of stone. You and I are the temple for the Holy Spirit. Allow the Spirit to guide you in this world, and then we as a group will overcome this world and throw this wicked, evil system into the ground where it belongs. But in the meantime, I don't give 1 minute's concern over what these sons of bitches are doing in these governments, in these institutions, in these corporations. They are all evil. So they can prance around claiming they created a law, regulation, a statute, blah, blah, blah. Sorry. You don't have any power over me. You can come and kill me. You can steal from me if you wish. I probably couldn't stop you. However, I do want to admonish any of you assholes working for these demonic sources to be careful of the admonition that the prophets stated long ago when Yahweh said to the rulers and kings of this earth, touch not mine anointed and do my prophets no harm. Hallelujah. Be one of his anointed, ladies and gentlemen. There is no safer place to be, especially in these wicked times. Be part of his anointed. Because he has told the powers of this world, touch not my anointed. Proverbs 30, verse 5. Every word of Yahweh God proves true. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him. Romans 15, 13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. Along with that hope, you may abound in power. You have far more power than you realize, ladies and gentlemen. Just the scripture alone that says, the prayers of a righteous man availeth much. That one verse tells you just a little bit of the power that you have. You see, the enemy has to make you afraid. The enemy has to get you to lose faith, to lose your trust, to lose your communication with the Father, because the enemy knows the power that you have. He also knows the protection that you have. But if you throw away the one who gives you that power and protection, then you did it. Remember, even in the book of Job, Satan was never given the power to directly hurt you and I. He was given the power to deceive us. Everything you see going on in this world is a mental deception, propaganda, fear porn, to take away your power, to take away your joy. Don't let him do that. Psalm 55, verse 22, cast your burden on Yahweh God, and he will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved. Matthew 10, verse 34, do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. Again, this is Matthew chapter 10. For you New Testament Zio Christians out there that got your heads up your asses. So, you know, you pacifists and all you do-gooders and, oh, Jesus and God, they just love everybody and they just detest violence and, oh, they wouldn't want you to have a gun or use it or do things to these bad people. I mean, because they just love everybody. We're supposed to save everybody. That's funny, because right here in Matthew it says, I didn't come to bring peace, I came to bring a sword. We're going to read another verse that goes right along with that. In fact, I'll read it now. Luke 19, again, New Testament, for you brain-dead Zio Christians out there. Right here in the New Testament, Luke 19, verse 27. Now, these are the words of Messiah himself. But bring those enemies of mine who did not want me to reign over them here and kill them before me. Wow. Messiah said that? Oh, yeah, Dan. It says so right there in the Bible. Well, I'll be damned. Yes. How about that? Luke 19, verse 27. But bring those enemies of mine who did not want me to rule over them, bring them here and execute them before me. Well, Dan, that doesn't sound like the Jesus my preacher's been telling me about down at that whitewashed sepulcher called a church. He tells me Jesus loves everybody. Well, let me know how that works out for you, Christian. Zio-Christian, mainstream Christianity, setting up the sheep for the slaughter. You know, I don't blame the racial nationalists and all that detest Christianity, because in their minds, all Christianity is mainstream Christianity, which is not true. Identity teaches Christ, but we do not teach what mainstream teaches at all. So throwing the baby out with the bathwater is kind of a stupid thing to do. And I've told racial groups this for years and years and years. Why are you throwing away the greatest ally you could have in this world, our Creator Father, simply because the mainstream churchianity system is completely wrong, teaching lies and the doctrines of devils for the words of Christ himself? Why would you do that? Why don't you straighten people out as to who Yahshua really was? He was a white man. That the Hebrews were the ancestors of the white race, not Jews. Are you kidding me? Psalm 11, verse 5, Yahweh God tests the righteous, but his soul hates the wicked and the one who loves violence. Which is what? Your man-made governments today. Fits their description to a T, does it not? They are violent. Who are the greatest mass murderers in this world other than organized man-made religion and man-made governments that work hand in hand, by the way? They're hand in hand. The man-made religions today, the centralized religions, are not, no different than the Baal priests of Old Testament times. Their job is to keep you dumb, confused, afraid, guilt-ridden, so that you won't rise up against their masters, the government. Yeah, the false prophet and the beast together, married together. They're two. Two faces, two sides of the same coin, two wings on the same bird. Man-made religion, man-made government, all to control you, all to rape you, rob you, murder you, etc. Wake up, sleeping children, wake up. Now, last but not least, Psalm 149. This is a short psalm. Pay attention. Praise Yahweh. Sing to Yahweh a new song, His praise in the assembly of the saints. Let me stop there for a minute. That word saints, don't think of it in the modern day terms. That saints is the called out one, or ecclesia in the Greek. Many times interpreted in English as church. Believers or church. Saints are called out ones by our Father. So, His praise in the assembly of His called out ones, separated ones, holy ones. Let Jacob Israel, that's a people, that's you and me, folks. Let Jacob Israel rejoice in Him who made them. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their King. Hallelujah. Let them praise His name in the dance. Let them sing praises to Him with tambourine and harp, basically music. For Yahweh takes pleasure in His people. He crowns the humble with salvation. Let the saints rejoice in honor. Let them sing for joy on their beds. Yep, that's where you go late at night to lay your head down, and when you get up in the morning, you're in your beds. Talk to the Father the last thing at night and first thing in the morning. May the high praises of Elohim God be in their mouths, and a two-edged sword in their hand. Oh, wait a minute. What about pacifism, Dan? We Christians, we shouldn't even have weapons or know how to use them, because Jesus and God, they just love everybody. We got to save their souls. I say send them to hell. Put them in the grave where they belong. They're evil. They're wicked. They've done wrong. So, verse 6, may the high praises of Yahweh God be in their mouths, and at the same time, a two-edged sword in their hands. It reminds me of the story of King David. As he praised our Father in prayer, he was picking up the stones that he would end up putting right between the eyes of Goliath. So while you're praising Yahweh, be loading your magazines, men. Be loading the clips for your rifles, your magazines, and the cylinders on your revolvers. While you're praising our Father in song and dance, be sharpening your knives and your swords. Be sharpening your spears. Be sharpening your battle axes, for the time of war is at hand. Verse 7, to execute vengeance. This is why you have a two-edged sword in your hand, by the way. Verse 7, to execute vengeance on the nations and punishment on the peoples. So it doesn't matter what race or what nationality, judgment comes to all. We're not to be a respecter of people, their titles, their wealth, none of that. Verse 8, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron. Now, a fetter is like a shackle. So, wait a minute here. Bind their kings. You mean like prime ministers, presidents, MPs and PMs? You talking about them? Kings and their nobles. You mean like governors? Like state representatives and state senators and federal representatives and federal senators? You mean those? Well, that sort of fits. They're kings and they're nobles. Meaning the people that would like to be rulers over you, who would like to inject themselves in the position of Yahweh God. Verse 9. This is why their kings are in chains and their nobles are shackled. To execute on them the written judgment. You want to see this world turn around in a hurry? Start obeying God's law. Start implementing God's law amongst these heathens, pagans, trannies, queers, interlopers, transgender, sick, perverted pedophiles, adrenochrome drinkers, cannibals. Your scripture is plain what they deserve. It is written. You just don't implement it. That's why you have all this disease, the plague it calls it. And race mixing is a plague upon mankind, by the way. So the last part of verse 9, after it says here to execute on them the judgment written, all his saints have this honor. Praise Yah. It's considered an honor to take up your sword and to bring his judgment upon the wicked. Where are our lions? Where are the Ezekiel 37 vast and mighty army of righteous men who have said, I am not going to take this any longer. No more children disappearing, no more children abused, no more children murdered, no more children raped, no more organ harvesting, no more aborting of babies. No more wars for Jewish effing bankers. Enough of this bullshit. Rise up, lions of Judah, lions of Jacob, Israel, and for the other races upon the earth, those that understand the truth of what we're saying, rise up and bless Abraham so that you in turn can be blessed. Because these monsters are killing your children as well. These monsters are selling off your body parts as well. These monsters are getting us to bomb and kill each other in these senseless wars. Isn't it time to take the monsters out? I would say that to the poor Chinese that have lived under monstrous leadership for centuries, probably. The same thing for every other nation of the world. If your leaders are part of this crowd, it's time to throw them off. It's time to embrace the living God. Take all these man-made religions, every one of them, and throw them in a dumpster where they belong. And worship the living God, the one who made us all. The one who set in motion this world and gave it the rules by which it operates. You want peace to come to this land? Do you want prosperity? Do you want clean air and clean water and real food? Do you want your children to be raised by the family in honor and discipline and respect? Then throw away these man-made institutions because they are all evil. The false prophet in bed with the beast. They are whores. They are servants of the evil one. just as Messiah said. Dear Heavenly Father, we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor this day. We would pray, Father, that your law would become the law of the land again, and that our people would soon realize that we've been deceived in so many ways, and especially that we must obey man's law. Man's law, when it goes against your law, is no law at all, as William Blackstone so eloquently put it. May our people come to realize that worshiping these false idols, these institutions, is a sin, a black sin against us. They are scarlet red, our sins, our unbelief, our disobedience. Help us to repent of this, Father Yahweh, and return to you. And we see the signs that many are starting to do that, even within my own family, Father. People that have never, ever mentioned you, your law, or scripture, as long as I've known them, all of a sudden are talking about verses in the Bible and the need to repent and return to the God of our forefathers, the God of scripture, the Elohim God who created all that we see around us. May that continue, and may that Ezekiel 37 army be ready. And may your angelic beings sound the trumpet call for that righteous army to come together and take this evil, wicked, monstrous system and burn it to the ground. We pray for that day soon to come, Father, and we always want you to sit upon the throne of our heart, to be our King and our Lord and Master, to be our Judge, and to be our Lawgiver. To that end, Father, we ask that you walk with us and guide us every single day. May the Holy Spirit reach us, help us to keep our bodies pure and clean and in good shape, especially our pineal gland, that third eye, so that we can hear clearly the calling of the Holy Spirit. Forgive us our sins, our shortcomings, and hear us as we cry out in repentance, Father Yahweh. We have been following man for far too long. We need to wake up, and wake up soon. And we pray for your coming to be this very day. And to that end, again, we say hallelujah, Father Yahweh, and protect us from our enemies. Hallelujah.
The sacrifice he made, another out of holy fear, built an ark the world to save. Another left his homeland, and as a stranger he'd reside. But none received the promise then, and so in faith they died.
Others conquered kingdoms, quenched the fury of the flames. Some made strong in battle, some were raised to life again. Many more were martyred amidst the crowds now clamoring, but faith they were not bowed to the emperor's reign.
Faith understands it all fears, it assures and calms our fears. It can shut the mouth of violence, it makes sense of scars and tears. We persevere in hope, and with conscience clean and clear.
seeing what is yet unseen. A universe of nothingness, new life where none had been. The known made from unknowable, and hope for the comfortless. The faith that they possess. So faith understands it all hurts. It assures and calms our fears. It can shut the mouths of liars and make sense of scars and tears. We persevere in hope and with conscience clean and your eyes upon the champion as you seek to run the race, understanding that he cheers you on as you long for his embrace. So hold on and do not grow weary of the faith that you profess, remembering that you are ringed around by this cloud of witnesses. Assures and calms our fears. It can shut the mouths of lions and make sense of scars and tears. We persevere in hope and with conscience clean and clear. We walk
El Shaddai, El Shaddai, El Elyon Adonai. Age to age, you're still the same. By the power of the name, El Shaddai, El Shaddai, Erechim Kana Adonai. We will praise and lift you high, El Shaddai. Through your love and through the ram, you saved the son of Abraham. And by the power of your hand, turn the sea into dry land. To the outcast on her knees, you were the God who really sees. And by your might, you set your children free. El Shaddai, El Shaddai, El Elyon Adonai. Age to age, you're still the same. By the power of the name, El Shaddai, El Shaddai, Erechim Kana Adonai. We will praise and lift you high, El Shaddai. Through the years you made it clear that the time of Christ was near. Though the people failed to see what Messiah ought to be, though your word contained the plan, they just could not understand that your most awesome work was done through the frailty of your son. El Shaddai, El Shaddai, El Elyon Adonai. Age to age, you're still the same. By the power of the name, El Shaddai, El Shaddai, Erechim Kana Adonai. We will praise and lift you high, El Shaddai, El Shaddai, El Shaddai, El Elyon Adonai. Age to age, you're still the same. By the power of the name, El Shaddai, El Shaddai, Erechim Kana Adonai. We will praise and lift you high, El Shaddai. We will praise and lift you high, El Shaddai.